Okay, Hare Krishna. Shyamananda Prabhu from Ireland says that this was last year. Sorry for being late. For the upcoming Radhastami, I'm creating two short dramas and using material from Venu Gita. By all means, the material in Venu Gita is not mine. These are pastimes which are described by our acharyas or our tradition, and devotees are free to take from those to enact dramas. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that we actually perform dramas so that we can present Krishna consciousness in a broad cultural context, and that also we give some visual entertaining medium whereby people can be taught principles of Krishna consciousness, thus replace other things such as video games, computers, movies, and so on. As far as he asks what to do and what not to do, well, the important thing is that we not make a comedy out of plays, which is sometimes the tendency is there to entertain others, but rather we stick with the particular rasas that these pastimes meant to convey. And for that, both the actors as well as the director really has to be in the mood of the pastime itself, and make sure that we're not communicating any type of tattva that is not authorized, that is novel, that is not something that in line with our teachings. Next, Gaur Krishna Das. He says, I've repeatedly read that the karma of living entities is without beginning, and yet it can come to an end. Please explain that. Yes, just as in the song, Anadi Karma Phali. Anadi. Anadi means without beginning, or beginningless. And generally, when we talk about the concept of eternity, eternity really means no beginning and no end. But of course, karma has to come to an end. Otherwise, if it doesn't come to an end, then we stay forever here in this material world. And aham tam sarva papevyo mukshay shami. And it's Krishna who frees us from our karma. But then why anadi? How can karma be beginningless? Are we always in this material world? No, Srila Prabhupada explains that the context in which the word anadi is used is that it's almost as if it's beginningless. In other words, it's such a long time that it almost appears as it's without beginning. We've been here for so long. And the amount of karma that we've accumulated is also so much that it appears that we've been accumulating it since time immemorial, or since beginningless time, but it's actually since time immemorial, or time that you cannot remember. So sometimes words are used differently. And this is one example when it's not the literal sense of the word, but the contextual and philosophical sense of the word that needs to be kept in mind. Toth Chandor, he asks another question. He asks two questions, actually. One, he says, what does it mean in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says everyone follows his path in all respects? If we have free will, how can we be following Krishna's path? And it's a fact that we do have free will, and I won't get into the free will and destiny discussion. But when Krishna says, Mama Vartmanu Vartante, everyone follows my path in all respects, really it means everyone follows one of my paths in all respects. One path is that when we surrender to Krishna and we act according to his will, and then we're directly following Krishna's instructions. But when someone is sinful, when someone rebels against Krishna's order and misuses his free will or her free will, then also he's on one another path of Krishna. And what is that path? That is the path of determination. That is the path of karma. That then we're forced to follow the laws of material nature to get the reaction of our activities. And who made those laws? Ultimately, Krishna put those laws into order. Krishna made those laws. So then, in that way, we're actually following Krishna's path. We are indirectly following Krishna's path. But in either place, we're on one or two of these paths. And his other question is that if a disciple doesn't follow the spiritual master, then is it true that Krishna will sever the connection made at initiation? No, I have not heard such a thing, that Krishna severs the relationship. In fact, it would be contrary to the independent nature of devotion. Krishna really doesn't interfere in this relationship between disciple and spiritual master. So we receive bhakti by the grace of the bhakti in the hearts of Vaishnavas. And Krishna gives Vaishnavas the independence to give us devotion. In the same way, Krishna also gives independence to Vaishnavas, to the spiritual master, that if he sees fit, he can cut that relationship, or he can cut the flow of devotion between the disciple and the spiritual master. If he sees the disciple as too much of an aparadi, if he's hopelessly entangled in sense gratification. But Krishna himself will not necessarily intervene, which may also mean that if a spiritual master so judges, he may maintain that connection with a disciple, but then the spiritual master also has to judge that if he has to take the sinful reaction for a disciple, he better be able to burn that off. In other words, he should be a big fire and not a small fire. Otherwise, it may affect his own Krishna consciousness. And the last question is from a friend, Veronica, and she says, one of my friends has become a Hare Krishna. And since he has, he's lost his family, he doesn't work, he's become very arrogant and big-mouthed and aggressive, and your religion has many do-nots or forbidden, things that are forbidden. This is not good. So anyway, what do you think about all of this? Well, we don't know who the person is, and we don't know where he is. Obviously, he's not someone who's a full-time devotee, otherwise there would be no question of him not working for 5 months. But this is not really the picture of someone who's Krishna conscious. It may be someone who's struggling with Krishna consciousness and probably has other problems in his life. But devotees don't become aggressive, hypocritical, big-mouthed, but rather they're submissive, humble. It does not necessarily mean that they follow the path of materialists, but still they follow the path Krishna gives for them in a very suitable way, in a very pleasing way. So at least this person is not mature in his Krishna consciousness. As far as our religion having many prohibitions, actually we don't have many prohibitions. We have one rule, and that rule is to love Krishna. But because there are so many obstacles to loving Krishna in this day and age, therefore we have to tell him, don't do this because it will obstruct your love for Krishna. And therefore it appears that yes, there are many prohibitions in Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, yes, people need to follow these rules in order for their dormant love for God to awaken. And in conclusion, we can just recommend to Veronica that she go to the nearest center and talk to some senior devotees, and if there is some type of conflict, see how we can resolve that conflict between her and her longtime friend now in contact with Krishna consciousness.